a thrill in the night. There's a kill in the air. There's fussing and fighting, cussing and biting, and getting nowhere. And I don't know, or I haven't a clue. Just pour on the whiskey, come here and kiss me, 'cause I need you. Yeah, when you go down, for the kill. What's all the whispering? Yeah, haven't you heard? I talk and I mumble, walk and I stumble, crash and I burn. But I'm just a child, I'm undeniably yours. You're the first and the last to leave all the wolves a path to my door. Yeah, when you go down, you put me on my knees. When I'm bad, would you help me please? Do with me what you will. But coming quick when you come for the kill.
That's Philadelphia singer-songwriter Lizanne Nott with Come for the Kill from her latest album, The Bluesy and Jazzy Excellent Day. It's a smoky and sultry delight featuring 8 original songs and 4 well-chosen covers. We've got the Gershwins' Ain't Necessarily So, Springsteen's Stolen Car, Janis Ian's Sometimes, and Jeff Lee Johnson's Excellent Day in there. And Lizanne Nott is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio. It's great to talk to you today, Lizanne.
Well, it's an absolute honor to be here, so thank you.
What I'd like to do to start off is to give you a chance to talk about how you got started in music. When I received my copy of Excellent Day, it was an album I certainly have been greatly enjoying, but I didn't know much about you, so this is your opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been playing music, I think, for my entire life, and I'm not a spring chicken. But my family was musical, so I grew up kind of in a musical environment. And I actually kind of joggled back and forth between training horses and playing music for most of my adult life. I finally just got to a point where I wanted to do it for a career, and things just kind of took off. I actually have more of a following and do more in the UK than I do here in the States. But so I'm trying. I'm making a big push with this record, this past record, to really come out in the States. But I've been playing for a long time over in the UK, and have a little bit of a following there. But I've just been writing songs forever, I think, since I was about 8 years old.
It's interesting that happens with a career. I know that I've talked to people before, and they say they're, you know, huge in, well, they're like big in Japan. It became a name for a band.
Right.
Because
that is... It was by accident.
Yeah, exactly. That suddenly you find out that the people really connect with you. When you first started... was that as a singer-songwriter? Is that how you got started? You've got this wonderful, you know, bluesy voice, and I just wondered how that first translated into your music?
You know, when I was young, when my friends were listening to the Rolling Stones and things like that, I was listening to Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and those kind of artists, and Elizabeth Cotton, and these old blues artists that were really seeped in kind of the gospel blues sound, and I just always loved that. That kind of saturated me, that's, I think, where the heart of my writing comes from.
Well, we started off with Come for the Kill, which is the first track on the album. It's one of my favorites. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, you know, that's one of the songs that kind of wrote itself. Very often when I'm driving the car is when I actually write. I'll hear some kind of melody in my head and words will come and I kind of put it down on paper and pick up my guitar when I get home. That song, I just can't really say that it's about particularly anybody. It just was a feeling I had at that point, and I just wrote it out. That's pretty much where my songs come from. Some of them have stories, but for the most part, they just kind of write themselves in my head. I don't know how else to explain it.
You know, the interesting thing I found about it, and it's one of the things I really love when I pick up a new album, is getting that lead off track that sets you up for what comes
right
after. Did you feel that as soon as you had that track down? Was this is one that you would love to be, you know, starting off an album with?
Yeah, I felt like it was a strong. I felt like it was a strong start off. Yeah, I did. As soon as I wrote it, I thought, wow, this would be a good opening track.
I'd like to talk about the album in a few minutes, but I want to get another one of your tracks in, and I thought we'd play Not This Time next, which has got a wonderful bluesy feel to it, and I think that's a co-write, is it?
That is a co-write with a writer named Bill Revelis from Los Angeles, and we got together and wrote that song. And we actually did a little tour together in the UK, and I think we started writing it over there and then finished it up. I had the melody and a few of the words, and he's an incredible lyricist, so we kind of sat and put it together. And yeah, I love that song.
Let's play that now. This is Lizanne Nott from her wonderful album, Excellent Day, and this is Not This Time. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
There's no living in this house. You come in to crawl back out. You're here, but you're not mine. There's no happy in this place. Sickness fills the space. You laugh while we are dying. Why do you treat me bad? I'm the best you ever had. You're my room
That's Lizanne Knott with Not This Time from her new album. It's entitled Excellent Day. Lizanne's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. What I'd like to do now, Lizanne, is talk a little bit about the album Excellent Day. You've got 8 originals, as we mentioned at the start of the interview, with the covers, which we'll talk about in a little bit more depth in a few moments. But tell us a little bit about how you start putting an album together.
Well, for me, you know, I write a lot of songs. So I kind of start going through my collection, and I try to pick ones that I think will make some sense, some will create some kind of feeling for an album. And this time I really had a lot of songs written, and I was quite an adventure putting the CD together. And then I'm always torn on other people's songs. There's some covers that I always love. I had the Bruce Springsteen song. I had done that actually for WXPN, a radio station here in Philly. They were having a day to honor Bruce Springsteen. They asked a couple artists to do some songs, and I threw that together really quickly, but I always kept the recording here because I liked it. So we decided to put that on the CD. It hadn't been out before. And I love Gershwin. I love those old jazzy blues songs, so I wanted to do that one. And Janice Ian had sent me that track with exclusive rights, the Sometimes track, that cover. And then the rest of them were songs that I had written that I felt fit into the format of that CD.
Was the intent to give this a really bluesy, jazzy feel to that? I mean, would you say that that's your typical style? Because it's interesting. Some of the songs on the album almost have a real fragility to them. Some of them really move, though, with that sort of a bit of a bluesy swagger, which again goes back to the, you know, Come for the Kill, and also Not This Time when listening to those two.
Right. I definitely have blues and with a hint of jazz in my soul. It just comes out. I definitely have the blues. I also like I'm really love writing lyrics. I really like lyrical music, and I also like very intimate songs. So that's always also included in my, you know, in my collections. So I kind of bounce back and forth between both, and my music tends to go all over the place sometimes. I do have a studio, and we often have, you know, very, very different clients in here that range from huge gospel groups, a lot of gospel in the studio actually, to jazz ensembles, to folk artists, to singer-songwriters. Whatever tends to be in the studio for that week tends to influence what I write. So that happens quite often, where I'll, you know, there'll be a gospel group in, and I'll tend to write something with a gospel flavor. Just happens that way. It gets in my head. The music gets in my head, and then I tend to write something in that kind of flavor.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the studio, because the studio is Morningstar Studios, and I think it's... How many years have you been a partner in that venture? Because I think it's quite a while, isn't it?
I have been a partner in the studio probably for 16, 17 years now, but the studio is probably maybe almost 40 years old, 30, maybe 30-some years old. It's been around for a very long time, and it's a great studio. We have a really large room and an Eve board and all kinds of stuff going on here.
I suppose with the fact that you're involved in the studio, you have so many great players coming through, that probably really helps you try and decide who you want to work with, doesn't it?
It absolutely helps me. I have my special hand-picked group of session musicians who also play live with me. I'm really fortunate about that, but they've become kind of my live band too. But yeah, some amazing players, and it's just... I'm extremely grateful for my scenario that I'm kind of in the heart of it to record and make some really nice projects. It's a good feeling.
Now, the album was produced by Glenn Barrett, who I think plays with you quite a lot as well, doesn't he?
He does. Well, he's my partner, and he sometimes comes out and plays. I mean, his mainstay is that he's a producer and an engineer and runs, you know, the studio along with me. We both run it together, but he is a multi-instrumentalist, and he's very talented. So if he doesn't have a session going on, then I grab him and he comes out and plays, yeah.
You know, one of the things I love, and I think that's just the thing about a well-produced album, is the way that the instruments move in and out of the song without ever feeling that they're going to take over. And, absolutely, you know, everything, every instrument seems to have its space. Is that typical of the producing you get when you work with Glenn?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very typical of Glenn's production, but it's also typical of the people that I play with. We know each other so well, and we're so tuned into one another. They kind of know themselves when to come in and out. It's amazing how fast we get the takes for the songs, because they're just stellar musicians. And Glenn certainly gives some direction of what he's looking for, and I give my, you know, I let them know the kind of sound that I'm looking at. But, it's just, it's magical playing with them and working with Glenn. It happens.
So tell us about some of the people playing on the album.
Well, I got to use still a little bit of Jeff Lee Johnson, who was my longtime guitar player, who passed away 3 years ago. And that song, On Their Excellent Day, is actually his song. But I had little snippets left of him playing that I was able to use. And Ken Pendergast, who was a longtime touring bass player and music director for Melody Gardot, and has played with just a ton of great people. And he's a longtime friend and a longtime studio session player. He plays with me all the time. I always try to have Ken play with me. Ross Bellama is an incredible Philly guitar player who, again, tours all over internationally, and he plays on my albums, and he's in my band. Eric Johnson was a drummer, just great, great players that I'm just extremely lucky to have playing with me.
I have to say, it's really cool that you have access to so many wonderful people, and it's testament to the final product, because you end up with an album that not only will do well at this time, but it's an album that I know will be very popular with people, you know, in the years to come. It's not an album that people will forget about. I want to play another track from the album, and I want to play one of my favorites, which is another one of your songs. It's Lay My Burden Down. Can you tell us about that song?
Yes, that one actually does have a story to it. I tour in the UK, and my agent is in Scotland, and I had asked him on the tour that I wrote that song, and I said, you know, I really want to really submerse myself in Scottish history and the Celtic music that comes out of there. And he said, okay, you know, I'll try to put you someplace. So he put me, booked me at a place up in the Highlands that he felt would be very traditional in the music. And I got up there, and it turned out they were, a lot of the musicians that I met and the artists were Americana artists that played blues that sounded like I was sitting in Nashville and certainly not the Highlands in Scotland. But that kind of music and, you know, resurfaced and was just pulling at my heartstrings, because that's where my heart is with that type of music anyway. That's where I come from. So I was driving down from the Highlands, and that song just wrote itself really in my head. It just wrote itself. That's all I can say. I got back from the drive to my hotel room, I sat down and finished it, sat with my guitar and piece of paper and wrote it. That song's kind of special to me. I also have to say, there's the man playing the organ and singing on background, Joel Bryant, was my longtime keyboard player and an organist, and just a great, great gospel producer and player. Played with some of the greatest artists out there, everyone from Patti LaBelle to great, great gospel artists. And he passed away, and he had cancer when I was recording that, and he literally came into the studio with IVs and his pain meds and insisted on singing and playing on that record, and he died shortly after he did that song. But that has a really special, special meaning to me, that song.
And I think there's also a little banjo from Steve Martin on there, too.
Yes, yes. We got that in there, too. Yep. Yes, there is.
You know, I have to say, it's probably that we're going to need to play it, because I think it's the track that I would first play for someone and say, okay, you got to listen to this person. This is someone you definitely need to hear. So let's play that now. This is Lizanne Knott from the album Excellent Day, and this is Lay My Burden Down.
Going home, Lord, gonna lay my burden down. Going home, Lord, gonna lay my burden down. For too long I've carried it around. When I left you here, I set out on my own.
On my own.
When I left you here, I set out on my own.
On my own.
I made you cry. Took this burden on.
Yeah.
Been high in the mountains and away down to the sea.
Down to the sea.
Been high in the mountains and away down to the sea.
Away down to the sea. To the sea.
No matter where I go, my burden weighs on. Change my troubling ways.
Yeah.
I'm going home alone. I'm gonna lay my burden down.
I'm going home alone.
I'm gonna lay my burden down.
Going home, going home.
For too long I've carried it.
That's Lizanne Knott with Lay My Burden Down from her wonderful new album, Excellent Day. Lizanne is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio. We've been chatting about the album, and it truly is a fabulous album. I'm really, was really, really thrilled to find it. I want to talk about the live experience, because you mentioned at the start about the fact that, you know, your career really seems to have taken off in the UK. Not so much at home. And I do wonder, is that because maybe you are more of a known quantity in, you know, certainly I would imagine the Eastern US, the fact that you're involved with a studio and probably interacting with people in a lot of other ways other than as a musician. Do you think that influences the way that people look at you over here?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the rhyme or reason to it. I think what has a large amount to do with it is Bob Harris, who's a legendary DJ on the BBC, picked up one of my first records that I had recorded in the UK kind of accidentally. I think somebody had sent him a clip of mine. He asked for an album. He asked to have the whole record. I sent it over and it got lost on a FedEx truck. And so we kind of got to be friends going back and forth trying to figure out where the heck the CD was. And he got it and he just started to push the CD. And that's what really made me have a fan base in the UK. I got a record deal off of that, off of him pushing it and handing it to a label with proper records, and then I got an agent. So it all kind of spiraled all from a mishap, I feel like, and the fact that he liked the record and people seemed to like it getting played. And it's, you know, it's different there. One station broadcasting you kind of goes out everywhere. We're here in the States, it's very segmented. So one particular station doesn't have the reach that the BBC has in the UK. I think that has something to do with it. I think that, like you said, the fact that I have a studio and whatnot, you know, there's a business side of me sometimes that people see, although I'm much more an artist than a business person. I struggle over doing the books here. I can't even tell you. It's like having dental surgery. But so, I mean, you know, I am absolutely an artist, and I think pretty much people know me as an artist. I just have not toured the country. I haven't really put myself out there. But this year I'm going with I have a manager who's going to do some tour work for me and try to get me an agency here in the States, a touring agency. And I'm really going to get out there a little bit more than I have. I've kind of ridden on what I do in the UK and just done local shows here in the States, you know, up and down the East Coast into Nashville. But I'm going to try to make an attempt to get my music heard a little bit more. So I appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, I think it's certainly, you know, you become one of those pleasant surprises. And again, the first thing I did when I looked at the album, I noticed it was on Proper. And I actually kind of assumed that maybe it was coming from the UK. But then to find out that you're actually from Philadelphia, again, just
right.
Makes it even
a
more...
A lot of people think that.
Makes
yeah,
it even
here, I'm
more intriguing.
Local.
Yeah. Tell us about the live experience. And you mentioned you have all these great players in the Philadelphia area. I imagine it's probably harder for them to travel if you're actually playing shows elsewhere.
Well, we haven't hit that yet. But they, you know, they're up for it. It's obviously they have... you know, they've got their own gigs going on too, as they're very well-known musicians. So we're working at that angle to see what shows they can and can't do with me. I also do a lot of solo shows as a singer-songwriter. So I kind of do both, but I'm leaning more towards the band shows now because we have so much fun playing together and we just lock in. And we're looking at doing some tours together. So I'm hoping I can pull them out with me. But I love the intimate solo shows too. There's something special, there's something very magical about those shows that you don't get with a band show. But there's something that I love about both of them. I love performing in front of a live audience and connecting with an audience.
Well, I imagine that your music would also, you know, lend itself to being performed solo as much as obviously being filled out with a band experience.
It does. I mean, obviously the Come for the Kill and the songs like that, and certainly Excellent Day, those are absolutely band songs. So yeah, you know, I try to formulate the shows for what I'm doing. If I'm doing a small venue, an intimate venue, then I do different songs certainly than the band songs that I do. So it's kind of two different animals, but I like doing both, but I am leaning more towards doing some festivals this year and getting out with the band more.
No, that's great. We'll certainly look forward to that. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
They can go to my website, which is www.lizannnott.com. And I have a lot of music posted there. I also have a SoundCloud with my name. I have a Facebook page. All kinds of ways to reach me. And the studio, Morningstar Studios in Pennsylvania, they can reach me.
Well, look, it's been really great to talk to you today. An absolute, absolute pleasure. We're going to finish with the title track from the album, which you've mentioned is a Jeff Lee Johnson song. And I thought it would be good for you just to talk about his influence, because I wasn't familiar with what he'd done. And then I did spend some time to look him up. Sadly, he passed away in, I think, 2013. But talk a little bit about his influence on you and you know, music generally.
Oh, boy. Well, Jeff Lee Johnson is totally responsible, I feel like, for me even getting to the point that I'm at. He's just an amazing person. I'm an amazing musician who he really wasn't well known in the States, but he was a huge star in France, and he's from Philly. Just has played with everyone from Prince to Ricky Lee Jones. I mean, he just toured with major, major artists. That it's just his resume is amazing, and he was the most humble person that you would ever meet in your life. I remember the first time I played with him, I was petrified because here I am with my little acoustic guitar, and I thought, I didn't even want to play. play in front of him in the studio when the first time he did sessions on my CD, I was just terrified, kind of frozen. And he, from the beginning, talked to me and said, you know, there is no good or bad. There's nobody's better than anybody else. You know, you write these songs. These come from you. It doesn't matter how you play them. The way you play them is great. I'm just going to embellish you. And it was his whole thought process changed the way I thought. You know, he was all about just being in the moment and being true to yourself and doing what you do, and don't worry about if somebody's better or what the other person is doing, or you don't feel like you sound up to par with this. He said, throw all that away. And it was just huge. It was huge to me to have somebody of his talent telling me that. And that stayed with me forever. I mean, that I don't know. Without him coaching me and constantly pulling me out of myself, my own mindset, I don't know if I would have, you know, done what I'm doing. I don't know if I would have really steeped into the music industry like I am and really gone out and toured and done those things. He's an incredibly talented person, incredibly kind, and just so supportive. Just an amazing, amazing friend that I miss dearly.
Can you talk about Excellent Day, why you decided that you wanted to cover that song?
Well, he always was telling me to cover some of his songs. You know, you got to do my songs, and that was one of them that he said, this would be perfect for you. He said, you have to do Excellent Day. And we joked about it, and I never got to do it while he was living, so I wanted to do that for him, you know, kind of as an ode to Jeff Lee Johnson. So, and we were able to use his guitar tracks from that, then his little, he played some kind of little Mellotron or something in there too, or an old toy piano I think he played as well. He was so creative with his sounds, but we put some of that in there, and that's his harmony with me as well. That's him singing on there.
Well, that's wonderful. I really appreciate you sharing that with us today. We're going to finish with the title track from Lizanne Knott's album.
Thank you so much.
Excellent.
And thank you for having me. You have a wonderful station, and it's just a total honor to be talking with you on here.
And the pleasure is all mine. Thanks again. Excellent Day from Lizanne Knott, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
Got no time for mountains rising up in my way. Please listen to what I say. Don't mess with my excellent day. Puts my mind in the infinite. Lay back and watch the planets play. Please listen to what I say. Don't mess with my excellent day. Absolute upon display. reason, rising up and in my way. Please listen to what I say. Don't mess with my excellent day. Please listen to what I say. Don't mess with my excellent day.